There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, no sooner did Mike Evans' agent suggest that his client was going to hit free agency, he in fact did not hit free agency, changed his mind. And that happens in the world of football and finance and high-stakes poker. And so I woke up and around 8 o'clock or so, I was getting ready to contemplate my bike ride or do something in the morning, and lo and behold, guess what? Mike Evans reached an agreement on a two-year deal with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that made everybody, I think, in the area very happy. It is a two-year deal, and listen, don't get hung up on the numbers, because until we see the breakdown, it doesn't mean a lot to me, but 2 years, it's announced at $52 million, and it also includes a $35 million guaranteed. Don't know how much of that is signing bonus, what the breakdown is, one year, two, but it's a significant deal. It makes him, in terms of just average salary, which is not always the best way to go, but in terms of average salary, I think it makes him the fourth highest paid receiver in the NFL, which is good, right, for him at age 31. So you got Tyreek Hill, who averages $30 million a year, Devontae Adams, $28 million, and Cooper Kupp from the Rams at 26.7, and Mike would be fourth right behind them. So, listen, this was the one, Steve, that I didn't think that they would get done before free agency, even before Derek Gilmore came out late last week and said that his guy was going to make it to it, and then he didn't. Apparently, Mike called sometime Friday or Saturday. I know, just kind of running things past Jason Light and others, they left the combine, him and Mike Greenberg, I think on Saturday morning, Friday or Saturday, I think Saturday morning, and left early to come back here and work on this deal. And it got agreed to sometime Saturday night. And so, you know, it obviously has to be signed. I mean, the Bucs announced they had an agreement in principle. Takes him off the market. It prevents him. And this is the thing that surprised me a little bit. And like, you know, again, Gilmore can say what he wants to say when he wants to say it for leverage or otherwise, or maybe Mike just changed his mind. We don't know. And we'll talk to him, I think, on Friday tentatively is when we'll get a chance to talk to him. But it would seem to me that either the teams that were interested or the compensation wasn't that great. And maybe that's because some of the teams aren't ready to contend right now, or the money wasn't, they weren't willing to overpay for the privilege of having a Mike Evans on their team. But however it shook down, Mike decided to be the quote unquote Buck for life, which, you know, potentially he could play beyond, you know, 2 years, but this deal is for two. And you know what? Good for him. Really good for the organization. And we can get into this in a little bit, because I think it certainly has every sort of feel like of momentum to then now get Baker Mayfield done. I think the first things first, and as we do this podcast, we're taping it late, you know, Monday night, but
so when Tuesday morning when Baker signs, then you'll know.
Yeah, exactly. So forget everything I said. Or by Tuesday when Antoine Winfield Jr. signs, then forget the whole conversation we're about to have about franchise players tags, because they have until 4 o'clock today to utilize that, you know, tag or not, that designation on a player. Most likely wouldn't go on Baker Mayfield because of the cost involved and probably at this point a lack of salary cap space. But Antoine Winfield Jr. is only like 16, 17.2, something like that, and they could absorb that hit and then still negotiate with him, you know, into the summer about a long-term deal. I they haven't done it early. Like some teams have already said, well, we're tagging this guy or, you know, or whatnot. Tells me that there's still hope that they could reach a long-term deal with Winfield Jr., and they have this thing in their pocket. Obviously, they can use it at their discretion, and if it gets down to 4 o'clock or before 4 o'clock, they probably will. But if you look at Evans and you say, well, they're going to probably deal with Winfield one way or the other by today sometime, then really it's about Baker Mayfield, you know, and Lavonte David, I say, pushed down the road sort of like he was, you know, a year ago. Like that deal's not going to be so large that it's something you need to rush to do. He said he wants to play in Tampa or likely retire, but he hasn't completely, well, the interview I saw on the NFL Network, he didn't completely rule out playing for another team. I mean, he's not going to give up all his leverage, but he's another one that wants to be a Buck for life. So, you know, him and then, you know, dealing with Tristan Wirfs, who has a contract, it's not something that you have to do, you know, immediately. And then Chase McLaughlin, who I think they will lock up at some point. Not an expensive deal. If he gets $3 to $4 million, that's, you know, makes him one of the higher paid kickers in the game. But Mike, for so many reasons, this is the right thing because, you know, the dude's borderline right now, Hall of Fame, probably not even borderline, probably a Hall of Fame player, not a first ballot, but maybe, you know, Hall of Fame receiver, the only guy to have 10 consecutive years of 1,000 yards or more to start his career, not slowing down at age 30, you know, put up 1,255 yards. As I mentioned, he tied Tyreek Hill for the most touchdowns, had a couple good playoff games, and you know what you're getting. You know, and they needed that number one receiver because Chris Godwin's in his final year and he's going to make $20 million, but he is not the number one. If Mike walked out the door, you still don't have a number one receiver, in my opinion. I think they're going to move Chris back inside in the slot, which will probably give him more targets and make him more effective, maybe even especially in the red zone. But he's still not a number one. You maybe a couple of years ago, you would have said that he was number one, but he's a clear number two to Mike Evans. And so your battery, your receivers now are intact. You know, you've got Cade Otton, you know, there's going to be a draft. You could potentially pick up another tight end. You've got the running back all set. You just need that trigger guy. And I think this makes it more likely that he comes back than not, because I'm still trying to think, like, if you're Mike Evans and your agent said that you require a quote unquote elite quarterback on a team that's going to contend, well, okay, I got the contend part, but Kyle Trask is not an elite quarterback. We don't even know what he is.
Well, maybe Mike thinks he is.
Yeah. How would he arrive at that? Now, no, don't get me wrong. Mike could catch passes from almost anyone and get 1,000 yards a season. He's mm-hmm. proven that. Because mm-hmm. look at the quarterbacks he has had, especially early in his career. You know, the Josh McCowns, the Mike Glennons, the Jameis Winstons, right? The Brian Fitzpatricks and so on. But I don't think he comes back unless he has a reasonable expectation or anticipation that Baker is going to be back as well. I just don't think it happens without that. I can't imagine, and they're not mutually exclusive. Like, everybody's got to look out for their own money, right? As my good friend Marshawn Lynch used to say, take care of your monies and your mentals, right? So you got to be in a good place, and then you got to make sure you get paid. So that being the case, maybe that's what pushed him this way. But I don't think you do this deal, especially with what the agent said, unless you think, I'm going to have a guy that I trust, that I know can get the ball to me, and you know this because he just did it a year ago.
Well, then that's what was surprising, that, you know, I don't think it's a surprise that Mike's back, but it's a surprise that he's the first one to sign.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I would have thought it's Baker first and then the rest of the pieces fall. And so, but signing Mike sure leads you to believe that he knows Baker wants to be here and is close to getting a deal done. You know, maybe it's not finalized yet. Maybe there's a couple I's and T's to dot and cross, or maybe it's just not signed. But it sure leads you to believe that that's got to come next, because I just don't see Mike coming back here without knowing who his quarterback is.
Right.
And even if you waited till free agency and then sign, know who the quarterback is. He's at a point in his career where he can choose.
To a degree. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing we don't know, right? Like, yeah. This is not the legal tampering period. You're not supposed to have contact with teams. But we all know that what Indianapolis is, right? That's the illegal contact period mm-hmm. that everybody's had for years and years, and they still do. And I wonder, and I don't know this, but I wonder, Steve, like, what were Mike Evans' choices, right? Given his requirements for an elite quarterback, et cetera, and all this stuff. What if I told you that, you know, the team that would have paid him the most was, I don't know, the New York Giants, right? Or I'm trying to think of some middling team that may not have their quarterback situation settled. The Tennessee Titans really wanted him, you know, or the New England Patriots, right? So you can envision that, but then if you're Mike, you're like, yeah, but those teams, I don't think they're better than what I have here if Baker comes back. So, you know, the devil I know and all that. I mean, that's the thing is, we don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs really wanted Mike. And if they did, how much money did they have to pay him, right? Like, you say Patrick Mahomes go win a Super Bowl. Yeah, who wouldn't sign on for that? It worked out okay for Donovan Smith and others from here. But was that a real thing, right? Did they have salary cap space to give him $26 million average? I don't know. And we'll never know. But it seems to me that if he had a change of heart, if in fact the, you know, the agent represented that correctly, then something or someone convinced him, hey, you know what? All things being equal, you're better off just going back to Tampa. You know, you get your money, you live there, your kids are there, whatever. Probably a lot of reasons, you know, that go beyond football. But here's a guy who since 2014 only knows one franchise. And I kept thinking of the Tom Brady example or the Peyton Manning example, right? There's life after your current team. I mean, you know, John Lynch made four more Pro Bowls in Denver, right? Warren Sapp had 10 or more sacks, you know, with the Raiders. There's iconic players that have left here and made the Hall of Fame that still played for another organization. And I kind of thought that's where we're headed with Mike. You know, that, well, he had a great run and he's got all the records, and yet why not just see how the other side lives? Why not at least, and this is the weird thing, and again, I'm not naive. I know these conversations happen. I can't prove it, nor do I want to. But why not get to the starting line, right? Like, you can still run back to mom's house and, you know, and you're safe. But, like, you could have been at least courted or explored or just see, right? Like, maybe there's a better situation, but I want to go through the process. I've never been a free agent. You know, I came out of college. I was a young guy. I was like 21 years old. I got to my first free agent contract. I immediately signed a 5-year deal, not a 4-year deal, but a 5-year deal. And here I am, 31 years old. Hey, why not take a look around? You know, there's 31 other teams out there and other ways of doing things. Maybe I can find a place that I really love to live or work or what have you. And before he got there, Mike just said, no, I'm good in Tampa, you know? And look, it's a win for the community. I mean, this dude has done so much that people don't even know about. And we know about his foundation and putting kids through college and, you know, all the things he does with domestic abuse and stuff. So he's a tremendous, tremendous ambassador. He's been their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee before, several times over, in fact. So he's a 10 as a human being, and nothing could be greater than to keep him here. And his foundation has done a lot of work here. But it just still, to me, it was a little surprising. You know, like I was leaning more towards what they told us, I don't know what day it was, Friday or late last week, that he was at least gonna start, you know, try free agency, like, you know, test it and see what was there. And, you know, obviously he did not. I will give you the other half of this, and that's Baker Mayfield and what's going to happen there, or the best that we can speculate, because as you know, by the time this thing drops, we'll have news breaking and it'll make it null and void anyway, which is kind of funny the way that went down. But hey, I want to remind you guys that for the past 14 years, do you know the Skill Pros of Maelectric Solar? Yeah, they've been installing solar energy systems in Florida, and they provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Well, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they have always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Now, May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, your electrical, and equipment replacement, it's all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar, and it's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners, also with no fee. It's not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of this program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call this number, 727-819-2862, or visit mayelectricsolar.com. So no sooner had the news come out that Mike Evans had agreed to terms with the Buccaneers that I then checked with Baker Mayfield's agent and said, aha, the shoe has dropped. The worm has turned, like all those cliches, right? So what say you now, agent man of Baker Mayfield? And he simply said, well, sounds good, but we're still waiting to hear something. So that too is not unusual. They had their conversation in Indianapolis. He flew in from Denver. They met and they exchanged ideas. And I think these things tend to go in the right order, right? I always thought that Evans would be the more difficult signing. And I think he was difficult, but they did it first. And one of the reasons you do it first, Steve, is that this is the most money the team has, right? So if you're going to demand a big number and you want to give them the ability to structure it in such a way to lower, because he already had like 12 point something million dollars in dead money, whether he played or not, it's good to be first, right? Because then you can kind of dictate the terms and you can make sure that there's enough money for you.
Well, and the great words of Ricky Bobby's daddy, if you ain't first, you're last. So
there you go. Yeah, I want to be first. Seriously, that's a thing in free agency, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It shows priority. It shows, you know, where the money is there. They can't say, well, you know, because what if you'd have done a Baker Mayfield or a Baker Mayfield and Winfield Jr. And then now it's like, hey, you know what, Mike, we got $18 million here, buddy. Yep. You know, that's what we got.
Although maybe Baker went to his agent in the Bucks and said, get the deal done with Mike, then we'll talk.
Well, I didn't get that sense, but I do get the sense that it while it's not linked, that it's important. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like Tom Mills' agent, I've talked to him many times, and he said, listen, getting Mike is big for Baker. And Baker has said that. You know, Baker said at the Pro Bowl, you know, hiring Liam Cohen was step one. Step two will be getting Mike back. Well, they've done those two. Now you're at step three would be you sign a contract. And I have always believed that this one would get done. I cannot imagine, and I'm sure there's a world out there, unless the Bucks were to just say, yeah, you know, you had a good year, but we really don't want to pay you more than, I don't know, $10-12 million. He took the make it contract and he made it, right? And it's his football team. Like even if Baker walks out of the building and never comes back, the guys in that locker room, he ingratiated himself to all of them. Like, that's their quarterback. That's the old T.O., you know, crying, that's my quarterback. That's how these guys feel about Baker. And so they don't want to see him walk out of the building. And I don't sense necessarily that he does either. But there hasn't been really much progress since the combine. Now, I think these things tend to go in order. Evans was the more difficult one. Evans was the one that was going to influence whether Baker came back or not. And now, at least as we, you know, do this podcast on Monday evening, now the priority is it's not Baker. Yes, you want him back and all that, but you got to deal with the deadline at 4 p.m. today on Tuesday, which says, are you going to use the franchise player tag or not? So that's sort of where they're at. Get the long-term deal done with Antoine Winfield Jr. and or tag him. Then you check that box. Now you can say, okay, we have this much, you know, and we can go ahead and lock up Baker right here before we get to, I don't know, the legal tampering period is March 11th and then, you know, through the 13th. And then on the 13th at 4 p.m., you can sign with anybody if you're an unrestricted free agent. So I think sometime between you hearing this voice and say, what, probably Monday, you know, somewhere in there, you're gonna have a signing, I think, of Baker Mayfield. And look, I think there are teams that are interested in him. I mean, if you're Minnesota, right, and I think they want Kirk Cousins back, but I think they want him on a one-year deal. And Cousins is coming off the Achilles and all of that, but he's an absolute fit for Minnesota. But let's say Kurt says, well, look, you know, I can't get the deal I want there. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going somewhere else. How does Mayfield, who is, you know, 7-8 years younger, not appeal to the Minnesota Vikings? I think he would. I don't know what Atlanta thinks of him, but everybody has, you know, the Falcons making the deal with Chicago for Justin Fields. What if that's not the case? You know, what if they're going to draft a quarterback and they need a bridge guy, or they're going to go the veteran route again? You can weaken the Buccaneers and you can strengthen your own team. And if Baker's the difference, you're going to win the division. So there's teams out there I think would have an interest, but I don't know how much, like, New England's been mentioned because there's all these guys from Cleveland that were there and really liked Baker when he was drafted first overall. But I don't think he wants a rebuild situation like that, which it absolutely is, you know, with a first-time, you know, coach. So everything in my being, you know, sort of points to, okay, Baker's next. Well, actually, Winfield's next, because you have to, again, you got to probably use a franchise player tag on him today. And then you pick up Baker and you go, look, you know, we got your guy locked up. You got Chris Godwin. Have a little stability. Your wife is due with your first child, who's a little baby girl, in April. You know, everything sort of sets up for him to stop traveling, you know, stop being this guy that goes from team to team to team like the hired gun, you know, put down some roots, maybe lease a condo, I don't know, and, you know, find a good nanny and stay in Tampa Bay where you're beloved. You're beloved in that locker room. That's the other thing. Like, I know he can, you know, mesh with almost anybody. He's like a chameleon that way. But these guys love him and they consider him their quarterback. So if he didn't want to disappoint people, you know, find a way back here. But, I do believe that, you know, given the landscape of things, where they're picking in the draft, who the other free agent quarterbacks are, the best thing the Bucs can do if they want to be competitive is get Mayfield done. And I think they will. Nothing has pushed that over the top yet. But, you know, like I said, these things kind of take on their own life and happen when they're supposed to. And that would shock me. If I had gotten that wrong, if I had said, hey, Mike's going to be back, but Baker's gone, I would have bet you anything Baker's back and Mike's gone. You know, that seemed more plausible to me. But now I can't imagine that you're not going to have Baker Mayfield under center.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I mentioned, like, this whole thing kind of came down, you know, just looking over some of my notes here with respect to Mike Evans. So the talks heated up on late Friday, and then Jason Light and Mike Greenberg, they left early Saturday morning to come back and work on the deal. And then they agreed to terms. So, you know, John Cooper has this fishing event, has this charity event.
Mm-hmm. Coop's Catch.
That's it. Coop's Catch. And then they have this sort of, you know, party. And so that was actually Sunday night. And that's when I think that Jason learned, in fact, that Mike Evans had agreed to terms. So, yeah, he was at Coop's Catch. It was really a cool thing. He had Wayne Gretzky there.
Yeah, so the pre-party, or the, you know, the angler party was last, or Sunday night. Then Coop's Catch was on Monday, where the whole Lightning team comes out. Board boats go out with people. They raised over $200,000 this year.
Wow, that's outstanding.
Pediatric cancer research, the V Foundation.
That's terrific.
Wayne Gretzky was in attendance, as well as, like I said, the whole Lightning team. Wayne Gretzky, though, not much of a fisherman, I learned.
But he had a great line, though.
Yes, he says he's better when the water's frozen.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Don't worry about that fish stuff, because where he's from, you got to cut a hole in the ice anyway to fish. But yeah, Cooper's been doing this for a while.
This was the sixth annual.
Sixth annual?
I think he started 8 years ago, but COVID, there were a couple years that couldn't do it. And
yeah.
It became hard. But yeah, so this is, I believe, the sixth one he's done. So I think he had raised over $500,000 for pediatric cancer research prior to this year. So now he should be over $700,000.
Wow, that's amazing. That's outstanding. And of course, everybody comes out and they support each other's events and just support in general. I mentioned a little while ago in yesterday's podcast for sure that, you know, John Cooper and Marty St. Louis were both at Martin Fenley's memorial last Friday, which was incredible to see them there. And to hear Marty talk about, you know, how much Martin meant to him and things like that. Also saw Andy Freed and Neil Solance came over. And Neil, first right away, came over and said, how are you doing? And I could appreciate that because, Steve, you told me this before the podcast. It seems unbelievable. It's been a year since we lost Dave Wills.
Today, March 5th, is the one-year anniversary.
Goodness gracious.
You know, he had called the game on Saturday night, the 4th, or Saturday, I think it was a 6 o'clock game.
He did.
Then he did a charity function afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then went home and expecting to call the game on Sunday morning. I'll never forget where I was out. I was coaching a baseball game with my kid.
Yeah.
We were at we had a doubleheader that Sunday morning. And I remember the first game ended, didn't play very well. You're kind of like, yeah, you know, we got to turn it around for the next game. I had 15 minutes of the next game. Mm-hmm. Look down at my phone, and there's Mark Topkin's tweet.
Goodness gracious. I can't imagine finding out like that.
And I was like, what?
Mm.
I remember I called my wife over, and I'm like, look at this.
Is this real? Yeah.
And so I started making a couple calls, and yeah, I mean, it was just shocking. I mean, like you said, Andy and them saw him the night before.
Right.
I hadn't seen him in a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Regret. Usually right before spring training would begin, he and I would go have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Usually at Hattricks downtown, but sometimes we'd go somewhere else.
Right, right.
And that year, the schedules just didn't work out.
Right.
And so, we'll get it as we get closer to the season. Well,
yeah. No, that lunch didn't happen, and it's just a reminder of. Boy, we've lost so many people in this last year or two, even longer for me. But yeah, Dave was a jolt. And, you know, he went to bed. I think he woke up, was having trouble breathing. And by the time they get paramedics there, it was kind of too late. But time marches on. And that's the thing. I was talking to, about Chris Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about him the other night. And, you know, I think I mentioned to you that, you know, Ed Werder, who's one of his best friends, said that Chris really didn't have an idea. He didn't think that this was going to happen now. He had been through so much. And, you know, the cancer, obviously, for years kind of beat it. But then he was in generally bad health at times. And I didn't realize he had had, like, pneumonia over the holiday, or not too long ago. In December, I think. So just his overall health wasn't great. But still, you just never know. And like Ed was telling me, like, you don't say it enough because we all think that the sun's going to rise tomorrow and we're going to be part of it, or our best loved ones and our friends are going to be. But you need to tell people now. And I said this to Ed. I said, you know, I've known you since 91, man. I love you and Jill and, you know, the things you've overcome in your family. There's been cancer. There's been so much what he's accomplished. And it's like, we shouldn't wait until some tragedy happens to let people know how you feel about them. I'm guilty, more guilty of that than anything, right? I'm the dude that's always in his own head. People think that I'm just like rude, you know, whatever they have to say. I don't even know, but I know it's not probably positive. But it's not that. It's just that, like, I'm just singularly focused and kind of zone out when I'm in work mode. because I've got so much going on at home and so much going on at work. And it's not an excuse. It's just how I'm built. I'm able to really juggle things that way. But you don't. You don't stop and tell people what they've meant to you, how much you enjoy working with them or for them. But this goes, you know, all the way back. I mean, just in the last few years, and I can go further back, but like Mark Cook, at one Buck, like when I go there and I don't see Mark and I think about what the Bucks won a Super Bowl, you know, there's just so many of our colleagues, Don Banks and Vaughn McClure and so many of my guys that I've lost in the last couple of years, that it's really a sobering thing. But to think, you know, how time marches on, right? Like it's not minute to minute or hour to hour, it's second to second. And so, yeah, to think it's been a year, but it was very nice of Neil to, you know, to come to that thing and him and Andy and check on us. And it really were there for us. And I'm sure, you know, Martin's kids and Nora and them, but it was, you know, I know what Neil was thinking, and I didn't really link the two that it had been almost a year now to the day, that we lost Dave. So that's a tough one. Couple other things. So we didn't say this the other night, but and one of our listeners tweeted at us, but I had tweeted something about it. Congratulations to Gibbs High School, in South St. Petersburg. This place, those of you old timers that have been around, remember what Gibbs High School meant to this community and how great, and I mean when I say great now, unbelievably great basketball teams that it had with a coach by the name of, I hope I get this right, Freddie Dials, I think it was, years and years and years ago. And they were the gold standard, man, for basketball in all of Tampa Bay, Pinellas County. They won their first, I think it was 4A, state championship since like 1968 or 9, somewhere in there. Just incredible that this little school, 22nd Avenue South, or wherever it is down there, is able to make it back to the state and win it. So that's phenomenal.
Absolutely. Love to see that, you know, especially, geez, I mean, the drought that long.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they also were obviously affected, you know, pre-busing, right, mm-hmm. to have in this early to mid-70s, Pinellas County instituted a busing plan for racial equality, and a lot of students were bused from the South Side. Back then, some of the schools, you know, depending on where they were located, they were better maintained or, you know, had better like whatever. They weren't equal. And in an effort to try to make them equal, they bus, you know, students from one part of town to the South Side and vice versa. It was the first part of integration, if you can imagine that, back in the early 70s. And prior to that, Gibbs High School, which was largely all African American, dominated everything. I mean, they were just so many great athletes and in basketball in particular. So it's really cool to see them back on the map.
And speaking of cool.
Yeah.
South Florida senior night tonight at the Yuengling Center. The first time Bulls fans can watch a home game with the Bulls ranked ever.
That they've not been in the arena since they got the 25 ranking. Right.
Last week they only played one game. It was on the road at Charlotte, which they dominated.
Yeah.
Now they've moved up to 24. So their last home game of the season, senior night, and the first time ever the Bulls have played a home game ranked. So,
well, that place will be lit, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
did you see them? They had a video of them coming off their road trip. Mm-hmm. I guess it was to what, Carolina, Charlotte?
Charlotte, yep. When they got back.
And the people there that were celebrating, it was so cool to see that there was, you know, whether not just the cheerleaders, but students and other people kind of forming a little line for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, man. It's different over there. It's just the coolest thing ever. And I hope that they don't have to win the conference championship to make the NCAAs. I really don't. I think they got to play well and win a game or two. But I hope it's not one of those, yeah, you only get in if you get the automatic conference bid.
It would be a shame because based on the net rankings and how they do it now, they're pretty low. And they didn't have a very good non-conference schedule. And they struggled early, too, as new coach, a lot of new players in this. But you can't tell me they're not one of the best 64 teams or 68 or whatever the number is now.
I mean, they're going to wind up winning, 16 and 17 in a row or something like that?
Yeah, you can't tell me they're not one of the best, that they don't deserve to be in the tournament. They may not get there if they lose early in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Because of the early season stuff and that, right? But if you look at the way they're playing, just the eye test alone.
Just the eye test, yeah.
Like, they are legit a tournament team.
And I'm sorry, like, there should be.
They can do some damage in the tournament, too.
Right. There should be some acknowledgement for what was accomplished here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to go from where they were to over a 20-plus win team, to lose only one game in your conference, you know, to do things that great basketball teams do, I don't care what conference. You can be in the Patriot League, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Like, if you have that kind of year, you had that kind of year. I like to see those guys rewarded, you know? I can do without, you know, one less Virginia Tech, you know, or one of those, you know, fifth place teams from a bigger conference, Georgia Tech or whatever. Reward USF because I think they've earned it. And I think you're right, to your point, if they get there, whether it's the play-in game or something else, if they get in the tournament, they could knock some people out, no question.
They can play good defense.
Mm-hmm.
They can score. They can play any way you want to play.
That's right. Fast, slow.
You want to play slow grinding game, they can play it. You want to play a up and down the court game, they can play that. Like, they have a chance to do some damage if they get in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you'd really like to see them finish it out and, you know, just win the conference tournament, guarantee it.
Yeah. And, yeah, take, you know, the automatic bid.
If you win out, you're going to probably get a decent seed, too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but I mean, this team can do this. This is a fun team to watch. Coach Abdul Rahim has done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, like, he's coach of the year. I mean,
Joey Knight, and another nice story. Joey Knight ranked the best coaches, first year coaches in Tampa Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first year here, and gave Abdul Rahim the second number two nod on the list. Which, after reading through it, I agree. I mean, John Gruden was the first. When you come in your first year you win a Super Bowl, you're going to be number one.
I'll tell you what, man. Not easy to do. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And John Gruden will probably be at the game tonight.
One of their biggest fans and was there when they were losing and no one was going to the games, by the way.
Yep. Well, sitting courtside.
Sitting courtside. He had great seats. He's right there on the floor and he was there every night. So, you know, winners know winners, babe. That's how it goes. So, yeah, you mentioned Joey Knight, and just a shout. I know he listens to this podcast. Hey, glad you're back, big guy. Joey has gone through some stuff, man. He's had some illness and missed a little time from work, but he is back and in a big way because this is his time of year. And to have USF so relevant, playing so well, and he spent and has written so many things, including this listicle you mentioned about USF, I'm just glad my man gets to be part of this. Like, that's what I was rooting for, is rooting for him to get healthier and be able to enjoy this time of year, March Madness, because there's nothing like it, especially with this unprecedented run that the Bulls have had. So my partner in crime for many years with the Bucks, and still a great colleague that's over there a lot. But welcome back, man. I'm happy that you're feeling better. And I hope you continue to do so each and every day. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Hey, you guys can still send us in some email questions or questions in general. Basically, you can text them to us. Anything you got for the mailbag, we'll answer those correctly. As you know, guaranteed 100%. Do that by sending it to us on Twitter or X at NFL Stroud. You can also reach us on Twitter at SportsDayTB, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Thanks for all the comments. Those of you who, you know, keep me motivated each and every day and have my black block parties all set up for me, appreciate you too. Hope you guys continue to listen and check us out for all the latest Bucks news on tampabay.com and in the Tampa Bay Times. It is franchise tag day. We'll see if Antoine Winfield Jr. or anyone for that matter, earns the Bucks franchise player tag. Thanks for listening again. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.